Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Nerd Watch Podcast. I, of course, am the tremendously talented host of this show, G Money.
I'm going to have to retake that because that's the most garbage I've ever heard in one sentence.
I am.
Fake news. Fake news.
Joining me are my compatriots, my good friends, my pals, the nerds. Right here on the Nerd Watch Podcast.
I can barely stomach sitting with you here.
That's all wrong information.
Let's start off to our far left.
Casual acquaintances.
My casual acquaintances. Start off to my far left. He is the punk rock superstar, the horror aficionado. This man's month is coming up next month, and he won't even be here to celebrate it. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up to Gannon. He's in the house tonight.
I'll be here for Halloween. The holiday.
Oh, not the movie.
The movie, though.
I see. All right, great. Also joining us tonight is one lovely lady, also a tremendously talented artist, and according to the Facebook chat, she's pretty hot. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up to the author of Madame Walraven's erotic coloring book. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Francine Walraven in the house.
You know, I get hotter the more I drink.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Also joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, he is the professor. He is he's not a godfather, but he is my cinema soulmate. He is my hetero life mate.
And Jason Mraz impersonator.
He's one.
He's good.
Snazzy guy with an incredible talent for the movies. I'd like to call him friend, but I call him brother. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Professor Barry. He's in the house.
That borderline sounds like a eulogy.
I know. You should have saved that one, G.
I should have. This is my last appearance.
You said that like eight shows ago.
Also joining us tonight.
I knew Professor Barry. You are no Professor Barry.
You, sir, are no Professor Barry. Also joining us tonight, he is the gaming guru. He finishes games faster than I can play them. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Format. He's in the house tonight.
Yay, yay.
Ow.
Man, I'm not even halfway through Spider-Man.
You're bad at every game.
Have
you finished a game ever?
I'm what they call a dirty casual when it comes to game. You know, that's a weird part.
Dirty casual?
A filthy cash.
A filthy casual, yes.
You should see him at TikTok.
Oh, man, it's horrible. I'm bad at that as well.
He just walks away before he hits.
Like also, he looks at the table and is like, hashtag, yeah. Walks away.
Yeah. Also joining us tonight, he is the comic book artist extraordinaire. He is the author of Kukui Project, my favorite comic, Disco Thunder Groovebone. He is also the
man who
is the author of Hard Candy, but yet can't even make another comic for it. Ladies and gentlemen, he's fresh back from HawaiiCon. Give it up for Todd Bernardi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He bought me a coffee this morning.
Oh, he's such a mensch, isn't he?
What a sweet, sweet guy.
Sweet guy. Yay. Hey. The hot Bernardi. Hey, was there booze in it?
No.
No?
Sure.
Oh, wow.
Why not?
Regular coffee.
Who's checking? Nobody's checking.
Also, joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, bro. DJ Calvi Connie's got kidney stones. I'm sorry. That's terrible.
Yeah, good
DJ.
For you.
No, not good for you.
Hey, DJ, that sucks, man.
They do hurt. They hurt. Like
not hell. That I... that means you got to pass them, and that's horrible. I can't stop thinking about that. Anyway,
the show.
Yeah, I know.
It's that kind of pain.
Yeah, it's as bad as watching the show. Also, joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen,
use Lamaze training.
The cinema scholar, affectionately known as the Cinnamon Scallop, also the man who is going to open up his sack tonight and show us his hard media. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up. For A-Rod, he's in the house tonight.
I don't think he brought his hard media. I don't see it. Well, once again, I have to do him the solid of having the hard media for him to show on his segment.
On his segment.
I would never buy this.
So. Whoa. Whoa. Wow. Whoa.
He buys everything.
Oh, my gosh. Goodness gracious.
DJ, no, you didn't ruin the show. We wish you the best
DJ,
of health. I just had kidney stones recently, and it's like just feeling them in your back is like terrible.
Well, if we're talking about who consistently ruins the show, it's Todd. So,
I kicked the frame of my bed once. That's worse.
Yeah.
What? Shut up.
Wait, what was that again?
I'm sure it wasn't that painful.
Oh, I don't want to hear that. I think I just
realized
what you said.
Childbirth. Look, childbirth is one thing, but men get kidney stones, man.
True. They do.
You ever pass a marble through a straw? It's crazy.
There's no advice going to DJ about drinking apple cider vinegar.
DJ says the show's a lot better on the pain meds.
Thanks, DJ. Appreciate it.
It's very true.
Well, this show would be better if we were on paid meds.
Yeah, it would be. Tonight on the show, we're going to be talking about the paid new meds. Captain Marvel trailer. We're going to talk about The Predator. We're going to talk about Hawaii Con and all that other good stuff. And we're going to do it in less than 56 minutes. Also, before...
the same guy can't start the show on time is calling a timer on
but
it.
But before we get to all of that, ladies and gentlemen, it is time... Oh, wait a minute. It is not. It is time for me to introduce... the godfather of comic books. He is the chairman of the comic book board and the self-proclaimed comic master. Give it up for Dr. Captain Daddy Leaks in the house tonight.
Couple things wrong with what you just said. Maui News proclaimed me the comic master.
You
have to call me that. And I'm not a doctor.
No, you're Captain Dr. Daddy Leaks. That's
The captain I'll accept because you can't get in trouble for pretending
to
be a
captain. You
know,
if you combine those two, never mind.
Well, you totally
should.
Can you? You can get in trouble for imitating a captain.
All right, then stop giving me titles.
If you captain and doctor, would it be Copter?
It'd be Captor.
Captor?
Captor. He's the captor.
I don't want to be mentioned on the news as a captor.
Dr. Captor Leaks.
Dr. Captor Daddy Leaks.
That is definitely a dumb
like a
name.
Bad rapper name.
It does, yeah. Right? It sounds like a real bad rapper name.
When he goes Slickback,
when he,
you know, say the whole thing.
Unless it's Copter Laddie, and then you can just combine all of it. Right?
Ooh, that's good.
Copter I'm getting Laddie. A bad visual on Copter Laddie.
You know what I even like better?
Now he's Scottish. Nice.
I think we should put them all. I think Leaky Daddy's good too.
No, don't say
Leaky
that.
Leaky Daddy.
Leaky Daddy.
Oh man.
No.
Let's get to the comic list.
Yeah, please.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is some interesting news in the chat really quick. DJ Cavicani will be coming up for the Maui Comic Con, which we'll have information
Hell
for coming up shortly.
He
but he also said that he would like to do a podcast of the cooldown. And I think that it almost sounds like a lot
that's
of fun.
That's a secret.
That's what I'm saying. That's sacred, man. I don't know if I can. I don't know if we can, DJ. I'll see if we can do that, but I don't know. It's
we
pretty sacred.
We can. We're just leaving.
I know. Yeah,
that's true, too. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to check in with Dr. Daddy Leaks right here. It is every Wednesday. It's new Comic Book Wednesday right here at 115 South Waikea Avenue. And he's got the new comics that'll cure your ails. So let's check in with Dr. Captain Leaky Daddy.
Don't
for
stop. Please stop.
Find out what's new this week in the world of the comic boom.
I'm just going to get it over with.
Oh my
so
God,
I can make
Daddy
some announcements.
Leaks, you have such a fat and long comic book list. Let me wrap my hands around it.
Okay. Yes, computer
and
lady.
In your mouth.
That's gross.
Put it in your mouth.
Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 1.
Ooh.
Aquaman number 40. Avengers number 8. Batman number 55. Batman the Damned number 1 of 3. That's the new dark line of comics. The writer.
It's DC Black.
It's Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo. Your two favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Brian.
It's going to be good. And
don't I think start.
Batman dark. Teaming up with Constantine.
Oh, is that what it is?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Wow. Let's see. Captain America Annual number 1. Can you say that, Todd, for me in a douchey way?
Coyotes.
Number 6.
You know what? I think this move is going to be permanent. You should sit next to Dr. Daddy Lee all the time.
Dick Tracy, Dead or Alive, number 1. Can you say that like a douchebag? Not just... Doctor Strange number 5.
But we should talk about that Dick Tracy comic because I just want to say Dick.
I sure you
Dick,
do.
Dick.
Stop it,
Tracy. You have to say Tracy.
You have to say Tracy after it. Thank you.
You got to trace that Dick.
The Edge of Spider-Geddon number 3 of 4.
Wait, what was that again?
The Edge of the Spider-Geddon number 3 of 4. It's the new Spider-Verse where all the different Spider-Men are running around doing Spider stuff. Franklin Richards, Fantastic Year number 1.
Oh,
what's that about?
He's dope. Franklin Richards is one of the strongest superheroes.
The son of Sue Storm and Reed Richards.
Oh.
So that should be amazing.
But in most of the comics, we only really knew him as a kid or a baby.
Right, exactly.
And in Power Pack, I think, was his most prominent role, and then everything else was like side stories.
We got a sneak peek at future Franklin, who had Galactus as his herald.
Oh, snap. So, I missed that. What part of that? What part of that?
So
what was
he,
that from?
Did he have his powers as a did he have his powers as a youth or what, did
no,
something
yeah,
can,
yeah, yeah, he was yeah. So that's why people kept on trying to find him when they hit him with the Future Foundation.
Got it.
So, Immortal Hulk number 6, which has been pretty decent. Infinity Wars Soldier Supreme, number one of two.
Is Hulk technically immortal?
Could we now be? He is right now.
Okay, got it.
Like I mean, you it'd be
he is truly the most Avengerist of the Avengers right now.
Yeah. He would. I mean, if he's in the scene that got cut from the Edward Norton film, Edward Norton tries to commit suicide at like the South Pole or something, and that was
and the Hulk
and the Hulk the spits the bullet back out.
That's pretty cool.
Which they mentioned that in the movie.
Ironically enough, that is the inferior Incredible Hulk movie, by the way.
Oh, well, cool.
It was that scene.
Your opinion's awesome.
I know it is.
I'm so glad that you stopped everything to tell us your unnecessary opinion of a movie that came out 10 years ago.
Life of Captain Marvel, number 3 of 5.
Ooh.
Captain Marvel, yes. Mr. Miracle, number 11 of 12, which has been a great run. Nightwing, number 49.
All of them, Carl.
Pearl, number 2 of 6. That's the Bendis comic. He's got like six comics out right now.
He's got a ton of books running right now.
How's he doing it? He probably wrote them like 10 years in advance.
Yeah, but only like one of them's good.
Wow, bro.
Wow.
Keep and that. It's not Superman.
Yeah.
Return.
Bendis is watching right now.
He is not. Return of.
And even if he was, he would agree.
Wow. Return of Wolverine, number 1 of 5.
Oh my gosh. First he's old man Logan, now life. He's coming back to life. What
are you guys surprised?
Oh my god.
Nobody's surprised.
Unbelievable.
And he's gonna have the flame claws. Pretty soon.
Flame
Be patient.
Claws.
Flame claws.
You know, it makes
flame
sense.
Flame on snick.
That's I crazy. Said the Watcher had a yellow jumpsuit, and then because of the X-Men grand design, because he was colored yellow in a couple of panels.
Hey, you know who does grand design? Ed Pisker. I don't know if you know that, but.
How did you know that?
How did you know that?
Seriously.
I know this.
I'm shocked.
It's probably the best run of X-Men.
I'm sprucing up on my comic book history.
Ed Pisker's the man.
And then somebody was like, no, there's no X-Men with, you know, yellow jumpsuits. I was like, Wolverine.
Fair enough.
Right?
From his first appearance, man.
Jeez.
Get with it.
So they're bringing back the yellow
Sonic
jumpsuit.
Nice. Murphy, we're going to get to the Captain Marvel trailer after all this stuff.
Yeah, don't worry.
And yes, Michael Sotto, all the Brian Bendis books are part of the Jinx World imprint, which is a sub of the DC imprint.
And Gannon will tell us which one is good.
Yeah, which one? Jerk.
Torso was good, but that's got nothing to do with what's coming out now.
Star Wars number 54, Teen Titans number 22, Terminator Sector Wars number 2 of 4. Nobody's reading.
No one's reading Terminator
nobody's
Sector
reading
Wars.
That.
Terminator Sexual Wars?
Thor.
Sector Wars. Oh.
Thor number 5.
Yeah, the crappy cyborg from Mortal Kombat.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ongoing, issue 86. Uncle Scrooge number 40. And Venom number 6. Speaking of.
Speaking of the devil.
I've got a big announcement tonight, guys.
Whoa, for what? Maui Comic Con or the store? What's
Maui
going on?
Maui Comic Con, bros.
What? Tom Hardy's coming
what?
To Maui Comic Con.
No, I.
What?
Tom Hardy stuck
I couldn't understand what he was saying, so
what?
We didn't.
Oh.
No way.
I thought he was going to say what.
Brie Larson from Captain. It's
all
Captain
right, stop guessing. Come
oh,
on.
Sorry.
Vin Diesel.
He said Venom. Right?
Is that, was that it, by the way? Was that it for the comic
That's
book
the
list?
End of the comic book list.
Ladies and gentlemen,
and the
that
beginning
is
of my announcements.
Fantastic. Well, let me get rid of the comic book list. Let me end that little.
You're going to close it out. Why are you going to be formal about it?
Well, I just want to
bury the segue. Let's just bury it.
Screw the segue. That was your comic book list for the week, courtesy of Dr. Captain Daddy Leaks. Right here, you can pick him up at 115 South O'Kay Avenue.
That would have been such a smooth segue until he decided to step on it just to make sure his voice was heard.
That's right. Maui Comics and Collectibles right here, 115 South O'Kay Avenue. And, of course, I want to
send
a big shout out.
My name is G.
I want to send a big shout out to our good friends at Game Over Comics in Lahaina. Game Over Comics in Lahaina Town. Check them out. Great new store.
Game Over Comics, also a gold-level sponsor of the Maui Comic-Con.
Fantastic.
Thank you guys for your support.
That's
and
right.
And helping to make it happen. So it's going to be an awesome show this year.
When you go over there, shake the hands of Rex or Arthur.
Yeah, that's not their name, so don't just.
Does that mean their store's closed that weekend?
Well, they'll probably have help by then. I don't know. We close during Maui Comic Con too.
That's true.
Well, maybe I mean, you we guys should stay open the street though.
The competition. I know. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for an amazing new announcement for this year's Maui.
I think Kaimani Ahmad already nailed it. He said Steven Tyler.
Well, yeah, Steven Tyler. We're going to announce a special guest, but now I'm going to make you wait, G, because you made me wait. Man. Because I also want to mention that Gerdell Design, Morgan Gerdell, the architect, is also a gold-level sponsor of the Maui Comic-Con.
Oh, thank you.
So shout out to Morgan for always supporting the store and everything we do. And thank you, Morgan, for hanging up all those Maui Comic-Con preview posters for the Francine Wallraven poster contest. You are the winner of the skateboard deck.
Whoa!
We got to paint Morgan a deck.
She's already working on the art right now.
Nice. He's going to love it. He's going to love it.
What you making there, Francine?
Don't show it on camera. You don't want it to see it on camera. It's not.
All right.
It's naughty.
Is that an okay?
It's a portrait of Aaron.
All right. So now that the Francine Wallraven preview poster contest has run its course, mm-hmm. as promised, we're going to announce the special super secret guest of the Maui Comic Con, who Barry Wurst will be interviewing for the
Francine
Maui
has
Time
grabbed
Weekly.
My boob over this.
That's awesome.
Hey, Professor Barry, do you know you're interviewing somebody?
Venom?
What?
Is it Topher Grace?
It's
it's Tom Hardy.
The best. It's David Michelinie, creator of Venom.
David!
Marvel Comics writer, also creator of Scott Lang Ant-Man, mm-hmm. The Ghost, and James Rhodes.
Tom Hardy's uncle.
The War Machine.
That's
he's
amazing.
And the first 50 guests, mm-hmm. Saturday and Sunday through the door, will get a signed official Sony movie poster by David Michelinie.
Wow. David awesome. Michelinie.
Now remember, Michelinie was the one that said it's symbiote.
Yeah.
He said it's okay to say it
way.
Any way you want.
Yeah. You can say
so
it either way.
He's being democratic
so,
about it.
But, you know, the buck stops with him.
Actually, he's in Tom.
So we have to
That's
accept
kinda
it.
That's kind of true. It's very true.
He has the right to say which one is right.
So is Tom Hardy's given
and he
name?
Said both are yeah. correct.
Tom Hardy Michelinie?
Yes.
What?
Because it's going to be too much on the screen right now?
No.
Oh, okay. Just check.
Tom Michelinie Grace.
I'm also going to make this announcement because we just also launched on Bonfire.com the official Maui Comic Con 2018 full color t-shirt.
You
the hell
your,
you say?
You
I
shut
didn't
your
see
filthy
it.
Lion mouth.
Which are only available for online order. We're not going to bring them to the con to sell. They're only
you.
Available for pre-order before the convention.
I hate you.
And unfortunately, this is just Bonfire.com. I'll see what I can do for you, Jude. But the
Thank you.
Biggest shirt size on Bonfire is 3X. Yeah. But we'll try to work with people with larger needs.
With bigger
is that
needs.
A sensitive word? That's not
no,
a good word.
A,
I used the wrong
a,
word.
Don't be sensitive.
Folks that I'm are sorry. Bigger fans of snacks than the rest of
there
us.
There you go. Thank
that's,
you.
Dude, that's so rude.
Hey, I'm a big guy myself.
I'm a huge fan of snacks.
Yeah. Fat people?
Listen.
And you have a great
metabolism, don't say that.
Sir.
Gannon, I appreciate your insensitivity.
Thank huh?
you.
My insensitivity?
I appreciate it. You should have been here for insatiable. Anyway.
Yes.
We'll talk about it later.
That's when the shirt campaign runs till is October 3rd.
October 3rd, sweet.
And the reason that is so we can get the shirts. Everybody can wear their color shirts at the convention. We're gonna have shirts for sale at the convention, but they're not gonna be the color versions. So that's the only way to get them is
look
online
at the other
right
people
now.
People won't be like, look at them colors.
They won't say that. And I hope none of us say that.
He just did.
delete.
Wow.
That's exciting,
so
man.
The shirt is yeah, the official Comic-Con poster. Uh-huh. So we had, I don't know, we worked on it really hard.
Francine was incredible through the whole process.
Canilla
Tripp is doing the coloring, so awesome.
I love me some Canilla Tripp.
The color Jedi himself.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. Wow.
It's really hard for me to keep secrets. And
I know, that was incredible. Very good, Francine. I am... super proud of you.
I mean, yay. Technically, my son and my husband saw because I was
you.
And they were like, "Hey, what are you doing?" I was like, "Oh, the secret poster." I'm gonna scratch out your eyes because I promised that I wouldn't tell anybody. I technically didn't tell anybody, but they saw with their eyes.
Wow.
It was really hard for me not.
I don't care. So you were safe.
People want the link for the t-shirt.
Oh yeah, what's the link?
It's going on the Maui Comic Con Facebook page right now. Okay. I'm about to. I actually have it on my desktop
right
to
now.
Launch.
Go look right now.
Yeah.
Actually, Kai, can you press the share button on my desktop? It's going to be on the Maui Comic Con Facebook page.
And hey. then go through a search history.
Yeah, don't please don't do that.
Hey, Jimmy J wanted to send a shout out to you and said congrats on getting David Michelinie.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Fantastic. Yeah, we're super stoked. David came last year before the Amazing Comic Con. And he hung out with us in Maui, made some great friends. Maui fell in love with him, of course. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And we look forward to having him back again.
You know what I think I like most about David Michelinie?
What's that?
I like it.
How he complimented my interview skills with him. And
did
I
he
that
really?
Was, yes, he did.
But he says that to everybody.
He was incredibly impressed.
He's
with
a
me.
Super polite guy.
Yeah.
And the fact is,
I don't want you to take too much away from that.
He told Todd he draws really good.
No, he didn't. Point of order. None of the guests of the Maui Comic Con have ever complimented me in that way.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Anyway, that's some great news, Alika. Please keep us informed. What's up?
I can't do it because I don't know your password.
Oh, the screen locked.
It's a giant sequence. Oh, wait. What?
No, that's not how you spell
it.
That's
not it. Are we going to have Alika, Dr. Leaks, are we going to have any other big announcements coming up?
We're going to be announcing the schedule and other events. And we're also going to be shouting out the vendors and sponsors and stuff as we go along. So
fantastic.
And announcing the pie panel that we're going to have at the con.
Yes. And, you know, actually the college, this is just informal right now between us guys, G.
While we're recording.
Between us dudes.
Yeah.
Between us manly man dudes.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, I've never looked at you unless you're a manly man.
The college was actually interested in setting something up with the Nerdwatch, too, as some kind of like pre-interview event, some kind of live stream or whatever. So
good.
Oh, sweet. Have Fantastic. Them sign up for our Patreon, and then we'll get right on that.
Hey, you tell the college we don't come cheap.
Whoa.
No, I'm just kidding.
Expensively.
I'm gonna come diamonds.
All right, yeah, there you go. All right.
That sounds like it's gonna hurt.
All right.
Yeah, it is. Sorry, DJ.
Your password is I'm not a doctor.
That is my password.
Pipe down, everybody. Pipe down. All right, listen. We're gonna. It's either we got to get to talking about.
We got like 20 minutes left to talk about the show.
No,
now.
We don't. We got to, we got some Predator talk, Captain Marvel, and I think because we're still on comic books, we should
Chris Hansen's
talk about,
Predator.
We should talk about Captain Marvel.
That
first.
Movie must have been awesome.
Captain Marvel was
Hawaii Con was amazing this week.
Well, I'm gonna tell. No, I'm gonna.
Speaking of conventions, Hawaii Con, the social media and everything was awesome. Keeping up with everybody who went there, it looked like an awesome show. I'm very jealous.
It was actually pretty awesome.
So,
you enjoyed it, Todd Bernardi? You yeah, and your boy, DJ, and Mark Teixeira?
I don't coverage, but Murakami's coverage, wow, that was outstanding.
I love that it's still...
pictures of everything.
I love that it's Murakami, and that's stuck. Right? I just have to say Murakami. That now.
Between Murakami and Napua, we didn't have... like that was... that they did the blitz.
Everything got covered.
Everything got covered.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, did you enjoy yourself up there, Todd?
Yeah, I had a great time. It was amazing.
Oh, he hated, he hated coming back. Mm-hmm.
I got to meet Terry Brooks. That was pretty sweet.
Wow. The author of Sword of Shannara, which is actually it was an MTV series. Is it still on MTV?
I don't think so.
The second season came out,
is
though.
MTV still on MTV?
I know, yeah. MTV doesn't even exist.
They're shopping the third season around. There's a third season.
Oh, there's a third season coming.
Yeah, they're
shopping.
Because there was tons of books that was on the Shannara con. And coincidentally, just because I'm a huge heavy metal fan, that an adaptation of part of the Sword of Shannara was actually the first cover story for heavy metal, the American version, when they brought it to the States.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool.
I've heard that Terry Brooks is not a big fan of Marvel, and I think that's why Todd and him got along.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
He told me.
Let's hear about both of your super dry opinions that nobody likes.
No, he said I didn't even know about this. He said it in the he covered this in the panel, and he said that, I'm sorry, were you in the panel? I said, no. And he was like, that's good, because I said that I didn't like comic books. And I love comic books. I didn't mean that I didn't like comic books. I just don't like comic book movies. They get it all wrong. And I said, I know how you feel.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys start making out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was right in front of his wife, and she was not happy.
Yeah. Next time,
no, he doesn't have a beard. He's nice. Yeah.
Next,
not on his face.
Yeah. Not on his face. I'm gonna ask you all kinds of inappropriate questions later. We had a really good talk about comics and fantasy. He's a big fan of
keep going.
J.R.R. Tolkien, I told him that I had read the first chapter book that I really ever read was the Smith of Wooton Major, which was a J.R.R. Tolkien like fantasy thing that he released.
I feel
in
like
between.
You just made that whole thing up just now.
No, I know, right? And he was like nobody's ever read that.
It sounds like baby talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's cool. You got to get interaction with Terry Brooks.
Yeah,
famous writer of the Sword of Shannara.
Yeah,
and all the other
all the stuff that he just said.
Yeah, all that other stuff.
At Hawaii Con, you can just hang out with guys. Like I hung out with Tex, Mark Teixeira, and we just hung out at the pool.
Not like that Maui Comic Con where people won't even give you the time of day.
Well, some of the
they act like that you're doing they're doing you a favor.
They're not even at their booth.
They're not even
at
their
wife watching.
You guys are.
For them.
talking it up real good.
They're talking about me because I was sick last year.
Yeah, that's right.
But
and we got to see Todd and DJ's burgeoning bromance bud. Like
it's been, it's
like a spring flower.
So it's DJ Cam and Connie, I heard
you opened your flower for him.
Oh yeah. So no, that was hey, years ago.
Hey, I might have heard some of that wrong. I don't know.
Pay attention to
DJ's
me.
Tell, talk about me. He says in the chat.
What's the deal with DJ Cam and Connie? Apparently, he was the best thing about the con. What was going on with him?
He's from Big Island, baby.
Big Island's pretty amazing.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's he funny. He I wish he would have met Terry Brooks. They would have gotten along great because their books are both fantasy.
Yeah.
So there was a big line for Terry Brooks too, and I feel like Big Island. Todd
used his white privilege to cut it.
I stood in line. There's a lot of white people in front of me, so they weren't going to let that happen. Yeah.
They're like, we outranked you, buddy.
But HawaiiCon's great because there's all these, you know, like I was just at Rose City Comic Con the weekend before, and all those VIPs have got handlers and agents and stuff, and you can't get anywhere close to any of them, you know. But at HawaiiCon, like, mm-hmm. they're very open, and they're all, you know, walking around. Like Garrett Wong from Star Trek was just hanging out. The Power Rangers were just hanging out. They're walking around the convention hall. Like,
didn't Fermi Taylor get engaged?
Yeah, Fermi Taylor was there. She was from
Star Wars.
Star Wars: Return of the Jedi, I think. And yeah, it was just a great con. It's a great atmosphere.
That's cool.
And they're going to move locations next year. So I think that whatever problems that they've been having in the past with being at the resort. And not being
so now it's in
close
DJ's
to
garage next year.
Yeah, well, but DJ and DJ's really excited about next year too. He's really excited about the change in the venue.
Hey, listen, why don't you guys start being excited about Maui Comic Con?
That's the next big thing that we're really excited about this coming up.
Oh,
it's going to be great.
Fantastic.
DJ is going to be here, and I can't wait for him to bring Exilion. And he also did a bunch of work for Mana Comics.
DJ,
so.
We also need some more Exilion issue 1. I have to mail some to some customers in the mainland. They left already, but they really liked it. Yeah. And I was
fantastic.
Only on issue 2.
Well, listen, I'm super excited that you guys were super excited for HawaiiCon. I hope you guys are just as excited for Maui Comic Con. Because I'll be there. But anyway, that's going to be...
I was excited until you said that.
Oh, sorry.
Not anymore.
All right, well, Todd Bernardi, it's always a pleasure talking with you, sir. Thanks for coming to the show.
All right.
Anyway... No, I'm just kidding.
I'll let myself. That's cool.
Anyway, no. But it is time, boys and girls, to talk about an amazing trailer that actually dropped before the Nerd Watch was going on air.
What a surprise!
Total surprise, because it always happens the day after the Nerd Watch. But boys
Hell,
and girls,
one time the minute we're done recording.
Recording, yeah, it happened. But yes, we got the chance to see the new trailer for Brie Larson as Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, that's Captain Marvel.
Is she trapped in a room this time?
She is.
Did you see Jude
I actually
Law?
Just finally saw that movie.
Yeah, did you guys see
it?
It's
a rough
Law?
Watch.
It's, but it's a good flick. Yeah.
I just really want to slap that
Who's
kid,
the director,
really.
Greg?
I do not know. I am unaware. Do you know who the director of...
It's kind of a funny story.
Uh-huh.
Oh, directed that?
And another indie comedy.
Really?
Yeah, we can't hear you.
What was that again, Aaron?
I have a microphone. So the director of It's a Funny Story, and they did another indie rom-com that slips my mind. But it was kind of recent, but they're very indie directors.
Indie films. Interesting.
Oh,
which
interesting.
I like that fact about Captain Marvel, that Marvel's given a chance to smaller filmmakers.
I like that Marvel tries to get their directors cheap, you know,
that's
and,
correct.
And very
Absolutely.
Susceptible to
Absolutely.
To direction.
So they control.
I agree.
You shut
People
up.
That
you
would
do
love the
want.
Fact that they're going to go from something that was made on chump change to something that's $100 million, they can do whatever, you know.
Kevin Feige's like, you're lucky your name's on this
Yeah,
picture.
Exactly. Like the guy that made Spider-Man Homecoming made Clown just before that, but, you know, it was a wonderful opportunity for him to make Spider-Man. Had nothing to do with the fact that he's susceptible to the Hollywood machine.
That's right. So, Gannon.
I'm sorry. Was that bitter?
Yeah, a little bitter. Speaking of the susceptible Hollywood machine, what did you think of the Hollywood machine that is the new Captain Marvel trailer?
If this is Marvel's first female fronted superhero movie, it didn't give me the same feel that Wonder Woman did. I'm not saying it necessarily is required to, but it was their kind of their opportunity to kind of
swing
push back against that.
Yeah.
So I didn't get that vibe. I hate to say this, but I'm just going to cover you right here. We don't even have to touch on what you're going to say because I'm going to do it right now. It looks like any other Marvel film.
Wow.
It's just there's a girl superhero.
Wow.
It honestly didn't really feel like anything special to me, to be completely honest. I don't have any background with the character. I should say that up front. Sure. So anybody that watches it does have a background on the character, they're obviously going to feel different.
Sure.
So there's that going.
Did you get a chance to watch it there?
Yes.
Professor Barry, what did you think?
Likewise. It didn't really move me at all. And Brie Larson could be amazing. It's probably a stretch to say he's a friend of the show, but because a lot of us here know the guy, love the guy, and have been rooting for the guy, Destin Cretton, who is a haiku boy.
Yes!
Who directed Short Term 12, gave Brie Larson her big breakthrough role. And she's extraordinary in that film. And there have been other films she's been in that I'm like, she is electric. She's very – and I didn't get that from this trailer at all. I don't know if just because the – you know, again, it's a trailer for Pete's sake. The movie might be really incredible, but just looking at the trailer, I was really underwhelmed. It really did feel like more of the same.
It didn't feel like a great first impression.
No, not at all.
Yeah, even the lines they had are like, no, like why don't give her something a little stronger than like the quick little sound bites we have.
Yeah, yeah. That did seem a little weird.
The only thing my only takeaway from was Nick Fury.
Yeah.
And it's not his movie.
Jude Law with his creepy eyes.
It's the only two things I kind of remember from the trailer had nothing to do with the character the movie's about.
I will say that
Nick Fury with two creepy eyes.
Yeah.
Two eyes.
I like the fact that...
one shot of Coulson.
Yeah. I like the way they
Coulson
de-aged
the
him.
Mohawk.
Yeah.
The way they de-aged Fury was pretty cool, just like they did Kurt Russell in Guardians 2. That was pretty cool.
It's going to be an expensive movie just to de-age those two guys.
Format, did you have a chance to see it?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah. Two things that stood out to me, but only because I know the story, is possible links to Binary and the Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Will they explain the costume change a little bit at all? Because it seemed like in the trailer we got the green one, and then there was the actual Captain Marvel uniform, I guess. I mean, I'm assuming that that's going to be explained somehow, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm sure they'll explain it.
Okay. So,
more importantly, we saw the helmet.
Oh, and she punched an old woman in the face with
that
no
was
context.
Awesome. That was not.
Yeah,
that
was no context.
I love that part.
Yeah. I like how they ended the trailer on that because that was my favorite.
Yeah, and again, no context whatsoever. No. You don't see the shot of what.
I have to say that it was going to be my next point. I was surprised they did actually show the helmet. I was not expecting that.
It doesn't matter.
She looks like a hero. She's got the helmet, does she have the balls to punch an old lady?
She does,
and she's got superpowers. It's not like if I punch an old lady.
Yeah, that's
in the face.
That's what Marvel's doing. It's Captain Marvel versus the Golden Girls.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't think she has the same.
Where's the cheesecake? Damn it!
She's not as imposing. As dare I say, Wonder Woman. I
wouldn't even say Wonder Woman was imposing, but her character exuded hope.
A really strong presence.
And
Gal Gadot's got a good presence.
And to keep perspective, that's not necessarily what this movie's supposed to be about.
Sure,
Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel are completely separate things, so we have to make sure we're keeping that in consideration.
But, you guys, they do bring up some portions of the story, like the fact that she can remember her life on Earth and things like that. I think what they're hinting at,
she's trying
is,
to, right? Because that's what you said, that she's trying to remember.
I think the origin that they're hinting at, and maybe it also includes maybe Jude Law is Captain Marvel, I doubt it, but they're hinting at Carol Danvers' origin as, you know, an Air Force pilot. And not to mention that the second female Captain Marvel, what is her name?
Captain Marvel?
Yeah,
Camilla Khan.
No, not
Miss Marvel. Captain Marvel. You mean Patti LaBelle?
Yes. And
Patti LaBelle is Captain Marvel.
Sweet.
That her friend from the Air Force, her pilot friend, that is the mother of that character. So that
Patti LaBelle, I was hoping would be who's the one in the new Infinity arc, the one that takes out the Thanos. Starts with an E, the Eucadator. I don't remember.
Are you talking about Gamora?
Yeah.
No, Gamora's character.
But who the secret character.
Before you thought you knew who it was.
I thought it was going to be Phyla Vell, and then they showed
that. That would have been bad. I mean, they haven't done anything with her since the early 2000s, I think, was the last we've seen of her. But that's interesting because there's a time jump in the movie, obviously, because you have her days at the Air Force where she's from Earth and knew she was from Earth, and then you flash forward to where she's part of the...
So, yeah, is the flashbacks the 90s stuff, or is the whole movie set in the 90s and she flashes back even further than that?
I think it's set in the 90s, but she flashes back
further. Like, even further.
Yeah, it's 80s Top Gun and then 90s Captain Marvel.
So Phyla Vell could be part of... She could show
Patti LaBelle is really part of this movie.
I mean, Patti LaBelle.
So, okay.
I do think this trailer, based on the trailer alone, I do think her movie, me and Foreman were talking about it before we recorded the pod, it does kind of feel like this movie is the beginning of the next phase of Marvel beyond Infinity War.
Right.
Because they're clearly setting up the Scrolls.
Correct.
So,
and we didn't even see that in
the
trailer.
That's the beginning of the next thing.
We did?
Yeah. I must admit. They don't name them, but we know that that's what they are.
Well, I think we saw a headshot of one of the Skrulls in like a flash scene.
But again, they don't say it by name.
They don't
name.
Say who it is.
If you know what it is, you know what it is. But yeah, they don't say it by name.
Green and purple, man. Who else could it be?
Well, exactly.
One of the things that, because at the end of Infinity War, at the end credit scene with Sam Jackson and the cosmic pager.
The steampunk
page. When they showed the Captain Marvel symbol, I was like, so? Captain Marvel can't beat Thanos? But so many people were losing their mind over it. Yeah. But if we have binary Captain Marvel, that's really close. And this is Thanos, like MCU Thanos, you know, with feelings and stuff.
But, you know, so, when you try to, like, when you pull back away from that moment, how does Samuel Jackson even know this has anything to do with somebody he would need Captain Marvel for? He just knows everybody's disappearing. When you really think about that moment, yeah. I've been thinking about it since, to tap back into Infinity War. But when you think about that moment, it's just like, all of a sudden, it's just like... Yeah, we're all turning into dust. Oh, well, I guess we'll call Captain Marvel.
I'm gonna be.
We haven't needed her.
Have turned into dust herself.
We haven't. Yeah, we haven't needed her for anything else that's been going on. All of us, for whatever reason, but all of a sudden we're all turning to dust. So she's exactly the woman we need.
She does. I will say this: being a negative,
because he needs somebody to show up and clean things is basically what they're trying to say. G.
What
so
I'm saying
what
is
better job than a woman, right?
I'm being negative, Nelly here, but I have to say that I thought that Brie Larson. I don't know if she really fits the Captain Marvel character. Although I haven't seen it. I don't know. Does she?
I think she's perfect.
Okay.
Just checking.
I'm just
talking. And for those of you that are worried about the costume change from green to red, it took her forever to go from that black lightning bolt to the official Captain Marvel.
The many incarnations of the Marvel's Captain Marvel. It's,
let it happen.
You know, Captain Marvel was that green and... that weird seafoam green and black color scheme to begin with.
Right.
And then Carol Danvers, as she came in, eased into the role. This, the what we now call the classic, because it's just, you know, flashes back to the original Captain Marvel red, blue, and yellow suit. That didn't happen for Carol Danvers until 2009 in The Avenging Spider-Man issue 9.
Wow.
They did those green...
Did you say that we were douchey?
Yeah. Can you
know,
say
this
can you
is
say
one
coyote?
Thing I just want to make up. This is one thing I want to make a point about nerds on podcasts. Yeah. Is I listen to podcasts and
you
when
say
they start
that
talking
like you're
about
not amongst them.
That's what I'm saying. Is
but you sound like you're excluding yourself, kind of.
All right. Well, shut up. When I listen to a nerdy podcast and they talk about comics and then they start talking about issue numbers and they get them totally wrong, it makes me just like, this podcast sucks. These guys are phonies.
No, I wish I didn't say anything because that just made it way nerdier for him to say it. Never mind.
Nice. Yes, sir.
I think that, not that anybody asked, but I think the trailer was all right.
I already covered what you said. Don't worry about
it. It's true.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's why I didn't go to you because Gannon said he was speaking for you.
Yeah, he does.
I didn't want to speak for you, but I knew that's what we're going to hear. So
yeah, it's true.
Aaron, what did you think of the trailer?
Aaron did make the mistake of trying to ask Todd what he thought, as if we didn't already know
Todd
was going to say.
I mean, Aaron doesn't have a mic, so we can move on. No, go ahead, man. Go ahead,
no, I did say in the comments, which is what Gannon said, it looks like every other Marvel movie. Can't really take away from that.
Kind
but
of feel like you guys have been hanging out with me too much. He's negative.
Okay, and sometimes I'll disagree with you. But in this particular case, but again, Format has a little bit more background than I do. So
I have to say something.
My takeaway is different than his.
Somebody in the chat said
what
something
they need
interesting.
Is that funky cello thing for her theme song.
So Tara said something interesting in the chat that I actually was, I guess I was trying to say. She said that she had the same issue that I had, and she said that she felt her face was too soft for Captain Marvel. Like, I didn't think Brie Larson has that look to be a hero, I guess. And she said
neither did Gal Gadot.
She had a very.
If you were judging her straight from Fast and Furious, which is the only experience you would have had with her, you would not have thought she would have been a great Wonder Woman. I didn't.
Fair enough. I agree with you.
But a great director can change that.
Absolutely. Fair enough. So
hopefully this director who made this.
This director made some crappy indie independent movie that nobody liked.
The other one they made was Half Nelson with Ryan.
Is that Ryan Gosling? Ryan Fleck and what's it? Ryan Fleck and what's the other guy's name?
It's
a girl. It's a guy and a lady.
Everybody knows now.
Sweet. It's gonna be all right. Well, Captain Marvel hitting theaters next
year.
It's gonna
be like Catwoman.
We're gonna be doing the premiere, guaranteed. We'll show up, so you show up. All right. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Captain Marvel. We hope to see something soon. New trailers, new footage coming up in the next couple of days.
Next
couple of months, I'm for sure. We're going to see some more stuff.
You say that, but then that movie comes out, then 2 months after that is Infinity War.
That's true. Good point.
Those are pretty back-to-back.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. All right, speaking of movies, we've been doing our due diligence here for the Nerd Watch. This week we got to see a super nerdy movie. I was looking forward to watching it with Gannon while he held my hand, but he stood me up. So...
Yeah, he gave me like 5 minutes to show up.
I did.
Didn't even tell me he had an extra ticket until 5 minutes for the show.
Sorry. But anyway, well, that's because Professor...
He told me 5 minutes for the show when I was 10 minutes away from where he was.
But that was only because Professor Barry couldn't make it. So.
Oh, so that's what it is. If Barry's not there, then I guess we can invite Gannon. Yeah. That makes me feel even better.
Wow.
I'd rather not be invited at all.
Well, we watched the new Predator movie. Excuse me, The Predator.
I prefer
The Predator.
Yeah.
Gannon, Aaron, myself, and of course Professor Barry all went. Professor Barry
Todd was there.
That's right. Todd was there.
Too. You're very overlookable today.
That's right. Todd was there. Todd was there because
he couldn't make it.
Sorry, that was totally un.
Even I saw Todd was there.
Yeah, sorry. That was.
Well, yeah. You,
not on purpose. I swear I forgot. Sorry.
I made it real awkward for Barry after the theater. It's okay, man.
So,
What's going on?
Professor Barry, the Predator, is a cultural pop icon, as they say.
Like Friday.
Yeah, because courtesy of Arnold Schwarzenegger and John McTiernan.
And Kevin Peter Hall.
And Kevin Peter Hall, really who nerdy. Did a great job as the Predator. Let's fast forward to 2018. Mm-hmm. Now Shane Black, the man who was formerly in the original Predator, both wrote...
He played Dutch.
He both wrote and... No, he didn't. He both wrote and directed this film. And he wrote
black,
it...
Because it's Shane Black.
Was Arnold.
Did anybody else notice, other than myself and Aaron, that it was also written... it was co-written by Fred Decker.
Decker!
The man who was responsible for Night of the Creeps. And, of course, Monster Squad.
Did you bother to ask Todd? Todd knew.
We talked about that before.
Monster Squad, that movie where you almost met that kid and
almost
it didn't
met that
work
guy
out?
Over the phone?
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
That's the most insane, almost met a celebrity story I've ever heard.
Anyway, let's check. Everybody pipe down. It's time for Professor Barry to talk.
We got to shut up for Barry.
Everybody out of the room. Professor Barry about to speak.
Professor
Barry,
ahead,
guys, I want you all to hate him silently.
Okay, what did you think, sir, of the new film, The Predator?
I felt very underwhelmed by it from the very beginning. It felt really rushed. Immediately, it felt like there's no time for this movie to breathe. It was a similar thing a few years ago when we saw Independence Day Resurgence. It was like... Regardless of what you feel like that movie, I feel like it was over-edited to a point like it had no time to breathe. The characters have no time for development. It's just kind of moving from one set piece to another.
Yes.
I thought Boyd Holbrook was incredibly underwhelming in the lead. Like, who is this guy? Why do they put him in the lead? He's the least intimidating, the least charismatic person, considering like he's following – I mean, even following like Adrian Brody in Predators. Like, anybody.
Whoa.
Anybody but this guy.
Okay.
Asian Brody sucks in Predators.
Thank you. He does. Thank you.
Olivia Munn, I'm sorry, but I found her as believable as a scientist as Denise Richards as a nuclear physicist, and the world is not enough.
Hey, now.
First of all.
Are you saying that scientists can't be pretty ladies?
I'm saying that Denise Richards.
No, that they can't be Olivia Munn.
What Professor Barry is saying is that pretty ladies can't be smart. Oh. That's what he's saying.
I'm saying Denise Richards.
I just
like
wanted to make sure we're clear.
Olivia Munn can't act. That's what I'm being very mean.
I would agree. She has the same expression through the whole movie.
Oh snap! Shots fired.
I'm not talking about like
shots
how
shots fired.
I don't care how they look.
Take that, Psylocke.
They can't act, and she's not an actress. She's lovely, but she's not.
Drop dead gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
That's I do a feel like her right? entire film pageant. Career yeah, is forced
she was great
upon
in that.
Us. Like there's no reason why she should be acting.
Well,
stop,
Aaron. I agree.
So. You
no,
have
Denise Richards.
You have an interesting take on this. You think it was rushed. What other did you have any other problems with the film?
I didn't think it was as funny or as exciting as it should be.
Interesting.
It never really grabbed me. None of the action scenes really grabbed me. It felt like two very different movies at first, with the little boy, which felt like something. It felt like Super 8, and meanwhile, this hard R throwback to hard R 80s movies. I liked that it was politically incorrect. I liked that it was incredibly irresponsibly gory to a ridiculous degree.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it just didn't work for me. Wow. I didn't care about anyone. When any of the – even when some of the cool characters died, it just –
Spoilers.
Nothing.
Thanks, Todd.
Some of the cool characters.
You know, Michael Key, you know, he steals –
If you think
movies.
That's a spoiler, wait till you find out how autism plays a part in the movie.
Which was such a mistake. Such a terrible mistake. Keegan-Michael
I'm
Key
not even kidding.
Should have been cast in the lead role. I think it would have been a much better film. And that last scene was such a waste. Like I was talking again about it. Like it felt like – Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to show up in the last scene. And instead, the way it ends is so stupid.
It felt like a video game.
Well, they had no choice because Arnold
it's like,
did not
want to
be
now in. You've reached level 12. Here's your new armor. It's basically what it is.
I have to say, I have to. It's interesting.
What's wrong
Gannon,
with video game?
What is your take on the Predator?
Me and Barry have slightly different takes on it. I agree with most of what he says. I thought it was still kind of fun, though. Just watching the movie, it kind of felt like I couldn't stop myself from picturing Shane Black and Fred Decker getting together to write this movie and be like, and then, you know what I mean? Like, they probably got together and got very adolescent about their approach to the movie.
For sure, yeah.
So they probably wanted to make a Predator movie that's a little bit more fun driven,
yeah,
even though it's a fairly serious franchise for the most part. I liked a lot of the side characters, even though they were pretty one note and were just there to be joke characters.
Thomas Jane probably
should have been the lead because we've seen him be the lead and stuff like this before. It was kind of strange for me to see him as essentially just a guy that's there for jokes. It was hard for me to see it because Thomas Jane's great in almost everything I've seen.
Playing his Tourette's syndrome for jokes too.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could save my favorite line from that movie, but you won't let me. But
no, we will not.
You know exactly what it is.
I know exactly.
It has to do with an aardvark.
Hey, stop it! Stop cats. It! All right, next.
It has to do with an aardvark. If you saw the movie, you know
you
exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's like, right. Hey, Todd, shut your mouth. All right. What else?
Yeah, Olivia Munn, I don't know why she's an actress. I don't get how she's an actress.
God, dude, you guys are cruel, man.
I can't act, man. I really hate to be mean about it, but she kind of has always felt like this person that's forced upon the fan community as opposed to a person that's kind of earned their place in that place.
That's how I feel about Felicia Day.
Who's that?
Oh.
Who's that?
Felicia Day is the girl who is the... She plays
but
RPG
she
games,
actually creates.
Warcraft.
Yeah, but she can't act.
She's a huge,
but she creates.
Member
she's,
of the community.
Yeah. She has her own show. She's been a part of these things.
Yeah. Olivia Munn was part of G4.
She's just a pretty
she's
face.
She's a nerd.
Her,
yeah, but that's not acting.
Do you even know how Olivia Munn
You're
started?
You're doing as much acting as she did on G4.
Do you
that's
know
true.
How Olivia Munn
and
started?
And I'm way better looking.
How about we stuff
how?
Your
you,
face
she
with
was
hot
just,
dogs?
She was just like she was basically just like the host of a show.
Okay.
She was
like
essentially, yeah.
Wow.
Essentially, she was Jenny McCarthy.
Like you.
And
why am I not more popular?
Because she got popular with fanboys because of how she looks. She got a whole career out of it, and now she's being kind of forced into the acting.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You know what time
not
it is.
You. You know what time it is.
But
yeah, I'm very good, Stanley. Felicia Day was in Dr. Horror.
I told Barry, despite the flaws of the movie, I was on board until the absolute end of the movie. Because you feel like there's this setup. They keep referencing, what's in the pod? What's in the pod? You kind of feel like it's going to be something significant and actually really cool. So, of course, we build up in our minds what it's going to be. And it basically
same thing that was in the box in the seventh.
Kinda.
Well, what was in the box?
I would have rather it been Gwyneth Paltrow's head in there for no reason whatsoever than what was actually in there.
That could totally be my next birthday. Instead of cancel the pies, cancel the cake fights, just Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box.
Wow.
Birthday made.
So,
but I mean, honestly, I still had fun with it. And for me, if we take out any other Predator movie after part two, I'm more than happy for it to be Predator 1, 2, and then the Predator. I'm more than happy for it to be that.
Fair enough.
Despite the flaws of the movie, I'm still happy with it being treated as the true third film as opposed to the other ones that come out.
So, Aaron, I just was going to ask him a quick. Go ahead, Todd.
No, go ahead. Completely cut him out. Do yours first.
I was just going to say the original Predator movies weren't that good, though.
What the what the heck, man?
They were...
are you serious right now?
I mean, they were...
Thank you, Swan.
No. Let him continue.
They were easily just... They're kind of mindless action films.
Yeah. That's what made them great.
The only thing that supports that argument is when they showed the footage that they shot before, like the original...
Well,
have you seen the original costume?
This was a well-executed mindless
that Jean-Claude Van Damme was in?
No.
It looked awful. Well.
Did it?
The original costume?
That's where I thought the faults were in this movie.
But I think that this was... This was overstuffed with extra things because of the superhero franchises. I think they're trying to make Predator into the superhero franchise. Predator was never a superhero franchise to begin with.
I'm still trying to work out how even the first film, really?
The first film was about a guy who was trapped in the woods with a monster. No,
in the woods!
In the jungle?
Yes, in the jungle,
it's
Todd.
It's a bit deeper more developed than that.
Yeah.
The
Even
guy
if
got.
You cannot remember all the names of all the soldiers. You do remember exactly what their roles.
This is unbelievable.
No,
and they were
Dutch...
very defined as characters, whether you knew their names or not.
Oh, he got lucky. He had this Deus Ex Machina like salvation from God. He rolled around in the dirt, prepared to die, and then disappeared from the Predator scanner and actually lived, and then decided to use that weakness against him, and finally actually was able to kill the guy. Like that's. That's Superman.
He didn't actually kill the Predator. He managed to wound it to the point that it went.
Yeah,
he
didn't actually win.
But that's. I mean, that's tantamount to Superman reversing time to save Lois Lane.
Wait!
Wait a minute.
I mean, that's your opinion, but I'm sorry.
Hang
that's
on a second.
Not the same.
The
thing.
Predator is hunting the humans in this film. The Predator at the end of the original film. Gives massive respect to
he gives Schwarzenegger
but he
daps.
Won't let him catch him.
That's right, because
he won't let there be a trace of evidence that he was ever there.
Correct. So he is.
So he scorches the earth.
He scorches the earth because of the fact that he respected the game of Dutch for figuring out how to play him. So, I mean, that is pretty cool considering it wasn't about killing him. He was killing people for sport, but he respected the fact that he was defending himself against the Predator's attacks the way he did.
But
so he
I just think that he got a lucky break.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What the unbelievable!
That actually happens in real life, you know. People getting lucky breaks.
I understand
you know that, right?
Yeah, but I mean that. But
granted,
that,
not in the same context. But
I just felt
that
like
that happened to me.
And in the climax,
they found Saddam was saying
the
same
plot
way,
to Predator
accident.
One,
and
that happened to me.
It just seems so contrived, and it seems out of the movie would have been better if they had killed.
Cut him off, Chief.
The movie would have been better. Wouldn't it have been better if the Predator had come to... In every horror movie...
I want to go down this rabbit hole. I'm down for this.
Okay.
Right. In every horror movie that you've seen, the homicidal maniac kills everybody.
Dead dudes in the house?
Sure. So this is supposed to be kind of
classic.
A horrific movie in the same vein as, you know, the first Alien. You know?
All right. Okay. Listen. World. Okay. I have to put us
like Predator 2, like how
okay, but
Danny Glover is the final
Street,
girl,
which is a classic,
right?
She has a very contrived way of beating Freddy, which doesn't. Well,
I'm not
in
gonna
that context it doesn't actually.
But
work,
we're not going to say
it's still
that
kind of contrived method.
But we're not going to say it's a good movie.
Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah. Oh,
what?
Me and you are going to throw it out right
what?
Now.
What?
Yes, we are.
I mean, that's
after the show, we're going outside.
All right.
All this time, I had a difference of opinion with Todd. It was just because he didn't know what vocabulary was.
All right, listen.
It's not.
I have to end the show. We're at 55
what
minutes.
What about Predator 2?
Wait, we'll get to that.
They skinned people
what's
alive.
Predator 2?
What? The cold room?
The what?
The cold room.
Okay, why?
Because then you also they first how did they figure out the cold room actually would work in Predator?
Because they were studying him for years. It was 10 years since they've seen the Predator.
All right, well,
they even established that
he burns the earth. There's no trace of him at the end of
they
Predator, and they've been studying
to Schwarzenegger
him.
After they caught him after the whole incident. They talked to him about what they found out. They got scientists to figure this kind of stuff out.
Yes, okay. Miss Wall-Raven, what do you want to say?
I was going to say that I understand where Todd's coming from. I don't think that it was a good movie, but I think it was entertaining, and I think we have a lot of nostalgia wrapped around it that we remember it as a good movie and we appreciate it for different ways, but I wouldn't consider it a good movie.
Ugh!
I think it's. I'm not. Don't get me wrong.
I gotta argue that too because that movie still holds up. If you watch the movie now, it's still pretty good.
I'm not. Gonna
I
say,
watched it recently. It was really good.
I'm not going to say that. Man. I'm not going to say
I can't
that.
Wait for next week when we have less cast members.
That's good.
I'm not.
Wait,
gonna,
I'm the only one that's going to be gone.
All right, listen, Todd. Don't say anything. I'm going to end the show. I'm going to record for part two so I can have a good episode for Kaku and all those guys. Okay.
A crappy episode.
All right.
For part two.
We're coming up.
Crappy stuff for you.
Coming up. More arguments about the Predator. We're going to get into Aaron's hard media list, and then we're going to bring chaos. We're going to bring order to this chaos with Professor Barry. He's going to give us the final word on how good.
Well,
the
that
Predator
was my comments
is.
For the Predator.
Yeah. So
love it.
Don't worry, it's all coming
love
up a part
it.
Two of the
now
show.
You know
all right, stay tuned for that. Peace out. Much love. Much
I'm right along the format
nerdy.
Right
if you're
now.
Listening, you guys can download us on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, and Spotify. I, of course, am G Money. We're the Nerd Watch crew. We'll be back right after this, part two on the one. Aloha.